Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness. Without ceasing, I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I am longing to see you, that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far I have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am a dare to both the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith, for faith. As it's written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning I want to speak to you about keeping the faith. Now, back in November, we started walking the footsteps of Jesus, and starting with the announcements to the parents of John the Baptist, and then Mary and Joseph, and then made our way to Bethlehem, and then we followed Jesus all the way to Jerusalem, to his crucifixion, burial, and then resurrection on Easter Sunday. And then on Pentecost Sunday, we talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And from that time forward, we've been walking the footsteps of people like Stephen, Barnabas, and Silas. And then we also had Peter, and last week talked about how Peter ended up in Rome at a time when Christians were being persecuted. They were falsely accused of setting the city of Rome on fire, and they were placed in the circus there, were being fed to the lions. They were being crucified. They were being burned alive. And so we talked about facing those fiery trials in life. And today I want to end this series with what happened to the Apostle Paul. And thus the title of this sermon about keeping the faith. And so, in order to explain that a little bit, I thought it'd be best if I start with the book of Romans. Because when you read this first chapter in Romans, it was written about in the late 50s. And so it's kind of like a how do you do letter. Paul is throwing his hat in the door, if you will. And he says, you know, I've heard about you, and you probably heard about me, and I've been wanting to come and pay you guys a visit. The whole world is talking about your faith, about these Christians in Rome. So at this particular point in time, Paul has never even met the Romans. He's heard about these Christians in Rome, but he's never been to Rome. But that is on his wish list, if you will. He wants to go to Rome and visit these Christians. And then when you get to the end of the book of Romans, okay, you see, you found out that Paul had a lot of contacts. In chapter 16, he says, by the way, I commend to you my sister Phoebe, a deacon in the church, so you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her and whatever she may require from you. She has been my benefactor of many and of myself as well. So Paul did not deliver the letter of Romans to the Romans. He had a saint named Phoebe, and she delivered the letter. And then the very next thing he says is, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Now, we met Priscilla and Aquila back in Corinth. Remember that? They were living in Corinth because the emperor had kicked them out of the city of Rome, all the Jewish people. But now they're back in Rome. And when you read this 16th chapter, you go through, and there's all these names that Paul is rattling off about people he knows in Rome. These are Jewish Christians that he has met. And he knows them, and he loves them, and they have come back to Rome. And so Paul's saying, you know a bunch of my friends. You know, it's kind of like on social media, right? You know my friends, and I know some of your friends, okay? And he says, tell them I said hi. Well, how does Paul finally make it to Rome? Well, you may recall a few Sundays ago, we talked about how Paul came back from the mission trip, went to Jerusalem, and got himself in a whirlwind of trouble. He was accused of bringing Gentiles into the wrong section of the temple. Falsely accused of that. They had a little pre-trial with the Sanhedrin. And that's where Paul looks and realizes half the Sanhedrin is Sadducees who don't believe in the resurrection. Half are Pharisees and who do believe in the resurrection. And Paul says, brothers, I'm just here because I'm a good Pharisee who believes in the resurrection. And the Pharisees said, what's wrong with that? And the fist fight broke out in the Supreme Court here. So much so that the Roman soldier got scared and thought, I better get Paul out here. He might get beat up. Well, then Paul is transferred down to Caesarea. The Roman governor, Felix, brings Paul to hear him out. And Paul, being Paul, preached a sermon about righteousness, self-control, and the day of judgment. And Felix gets scared and says, Paul, you go on your way. I'll talk to you some other day. Well, then 2 years later, we get Governor Festus. And so Festus brings Paul in and says, well, Paul, would you be interested in having your trial up in Jerusalem? And Paul says, absolutely not. I am a Roman citizen before a Roman governor. I should be tried right here, right now by you. I appeal to Caesar. And so he talks to his advisors and says, very well, to Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go. And then the last time we talked to Paul, he was on a bad boat trip. Remember that? He got on the ship and he told the Roman centurion, says, sir, this is the wrong time to be on this boat. We don't need to be going anywhere. And they ignore Paul and listen to the captain and the owner of the ship. And what happened? They got into a bad storm, very scary, and Paul encouraged the sailors and the men on the boat and says, don't be afraid. The God whom I serve has appeared to me and says, Paul, do not be afraid. You must go to Rome and testify before Caesar. And I'm going to take care of you and all the lives on this ship. And Paul, you may recall, he told the men, you better eat up and get your strength. He took the bread, he blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. And so there he was, a witness to these pagan soldiers and sailors and people on the ship about the love of Christ. And so they had a storm, had a shipwreck, and they sailed and swam to the shore there. And Paul was helping build a fire, 5, 6, pick up 6, 7, 8, and there was that snake, remember that? Shook the snake off. And then Paul met the head honcho on that island, whose father-in-law was sick, and Paul laid his hands on him and prayed, and the Lord healed him. So when we last left Paul, he was on the island of Malta. Well, in Acts 28, we pick up with this story. Okay. And it says about how they arrived. And so they got to the coast. There he found believers and revived to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. The believers from there, when they heard of us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and Three Towers to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. In other words, Paul was walking up the street in his chains, and here came the crowds. It's Paul. He's made it. You know, and they're coming to hear him like, you're Paul. We've heard about you. it'd be a lot for us, you know. If Billy Graham came to town, right, we'd go out and meet Billy Graham. This is how it was the Apostle Paul shows up in Rome. You're like, no, we never met you, but we heard about you. No, we're glad you're here. And so when they came to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier who was guarding him. So Paul was placed under house arrest, waiting trial. And then it says, 3 days later, he called together the local leaders, the Jews. When they assembled, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the custom of our ancestors, yet I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. When they examined me, the Romans wanted to release me because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to the emperor, even though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since for the sake of the hope of Israel, I am bound this chain." And so Paul calls in the Jewish leaders and says, "Guys, I'm innocent. I'm here because of all these false charges." And the Jewish leaders say, "Well, we have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here have reported or spoken anything evil about you. But we would like to hear from you what you think for regard to this sect we know that everywhere is spoken against." So the Jewish leader says, "Well, Paul, we hadn't heard anything about you. You haven't been on the news or anything. You know? Now, this sect, though, this Christianity stuff, we've heard all sorts of stuff. It's all bad. We want to hear more about it." Okay? So remember what I said about last Sunday, about how, you know, Christianity had a bad rap during this time. And so Paul was there, and what was he doing? He talked to the Jewish leaders and such, and some were convinced and some wasn't. And then the last two verses of Acts says, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So Paul is under house arrest for 2 years in Rome. Now, if you do the math right, he was under house arrest 2 years in Caesarea in Israel. And now he's under house arrest for 2 years over in Rome, right? 2 plus 2 is 4, okay? That's like your high school career, okay? But what is he doing? He's having folks come over for a visit, and he is witnessing to them. Now, we have a little insight about what's going on those 2 years, because Paul received some friends from one of his churches he planted, the Church of Philippi. And so he wrote them a thank you note that we call the letter of Philippians. Okay. And Paul said, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying for joy in every one of my prayers for you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now." Okay. And this is how we know this letter was written while he was under house arrest. Listen to this. "I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel. So it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard." Those are the soldiers who are guarding Paul. "And to everyone else, that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters have been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear." See, Paul was busy those 2 years. He was busy witnessing to the guards who were guarding him. He says, "The whole imperial guard has heard about me." And he said, "And the Christians in Rome are now getting more courageous speaking out because of me." Now, it was all good news, so listen to this. "Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, and others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice." So Paul said, "I got folks out there proclaiming the gospel for the right reasons, and then I got a few scallywags who are doing it for the wrong reasons." He says, "That's okay, though. Either way, I win because they're proclaiming the gospel." And when you get to the end of Paul's letters, that's when he gets very personal and share personal thoughts. Okay? And he tells the Philippians and chapter 4, verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. And in all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, and of having plenty and being in need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. No, this is a thank you note. Thank you, Church of Philippi, for sending me that that care package. Okay. And then he ends it by saying, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The friends who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those in the emperor's household. You see, even in the palace with Nero, there were Christians. And Paul said, these Christians are going to tell the church in Philippi, they said hello. And he ends with, the grace of the Lord Christ be with your spirit. So what happened with Paul? The best we can tell is that Paul was in prison for 2 years, and then he finally had his trial, you know. So you think about it, he was under house arrest for 2 years, went to Rome, and under house arrest again for another 2 years. So 4 years later, he's finally having his trial. And this works well for Paul's advantage. The high priest since then has been fired and replaced. And then 4 years later, you know, the witnesses probably didn't show up from Jerusalem to press charges, okay? And so Paul finally gets his opportunity. And so here's Emperor Nero and his advisors. And here's the Apostle Paul. And no doubt the Roman prosecutor accused Paul of spreading a false religion around and being a troublemaker. And look how he goes to these different cities and the riot breaks out. It's all his fault. And Paul said, no, 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 no. I never started a riot. It was always the pagans who started the riots, not me. I don't do that. No. And I'm sure the devil gave Paul a hard time. You know the devil has to say, now, Paul, when you go to trial for Nero, just take it easy and just play it cool. Just tell him you're a good Pharisee, you're a good Jewish guy. You believe in the resurrection of the dead at the end of time, like the Pharisees do. Tell me you wrote a letter to the Christians in Rome. You're talking about honoring the emperor, for he who bears the sword bears not in vain. You know, just tell them that. Now, this Jesus stuff over here, let's not say anything about that. You just need to play it cool. But I know what Paul said, because we read the other times he was in trial, and what did he do? He gave his testimony, didn't he? He probably said, Emperor Nero, I'm glad to be here. For the Lord I serve told me that I had to be before you and give you my testimony to bear witness. And he said, no, I grew up Jewish, and I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And when I was young, I went around arresting Christians, and I would throw them in prison. And every time they had a case, I voted for the death penalty. I was one serious person. But then one day, I was on the road to Damascus. I had some arrest warrants. I was going to arrest some Christians, and instead, I got pulled over. I saw a bright light shine brighter than the afternoon sun, and the voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I said, who is the Lord? And the voice said, it is Jesus whom you are persecuting. And he told me how I have suffered many things for his sake, and I am to be his witness to both Jews and the Gentiles, lead people away from the powers of Satan, and to the powers of God, away from darkness, away from light, and to the light. And I realize that here in Rome, make great emperor, that you have all these gods and goddesses. But I want to tell you this morning, emperor, that there is only one God, and we must not think of God as something that we can carve out of stone or marble. And it is this one God who is from many people, out of one blood created many people, including you Romans. And it is this one God I come to testify about. And this God has sent one man named Jesus, who's by his death, burial, and resurrection has proven to be the Son of God. And by faith in him, everyone can find forgiveness of sins. This is the good news that I preach to everywhere I go. And so they take a vote, and Paul is found not guilty. But Christianity, though, is still in the twilight zone, if you will. They probably didn't say Christianity was legal or illegal. No. Is Christianity part of Judaism and protected by Roman law? Or is Christianity a different religion, not protected by Roman law? So what does Paul do? Well, one tradition is that Paul actually went out further west and went to Spain. No, in one of his letters, he talks about how I want to go further west. No, and Spain was, in his world, as far west as you can go, okay? And so Paul is going, and he's working his mission trips, visiting his churches. And apparently, when he gets down to Ephesus, there is some bad news going on. You have some people in Ephesus who are spreading a false gospel, okay? And this gets him into trouble. And these people file charges against the Apostle Paul. And the timing could not be worse. Because this is after the time when Caesar has killed many, many Christians, including the Apostle Peter in Rome. And so the Roman governor thinks, well, we got this Paul guy. I don't know. We need to send him back to Rome and let him stand trial in Rome. I'll let Caesar handle this. And so when we look at 2 Timothy, we see the last thoughts and words of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says in verse 11, "For this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. And for this reason I suffer as I do." You see, Paul wouldn't be under house arrest at this point. He'd be in the dungeon. "But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. I know the one in whom I have believed in. And I am sure that he is able to guard until the day, that day, where I am trusted to him." Paul says, "I know whom I have believed in, and my faith is in him. I know he'll take care of me." Okay. And then Paul goes on to say that some warning to Timothy. Now, he warns about how, in verse 15, "You are aware that all who are in Asia have turned against me, including Philegius and Hermogenes." In other words, my two friends have turned against me. And say, "May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. When he arrived in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well how much service he rendered in Ephesus." So here you had two friends who betrayed Paul, and then talked about this guy, about his household. It sounds like this guy came to Rome, searched for Paul, and found him. And then it sounds like he got arrested and was killed. Because it said, mercy to the household, to his household. Like he's dead. Like he's not even there. It's his family, his wife and children. Okay? This is how serious this is. Okay? And then in chapter 4, we see more of this, how bad the situation is. Verse 9. "Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love of this present world, had deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." No, my friend Demas, he just up and left. And talks about how he sent Croesus, has gone to Galatia. "I've sent Titus to the Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me, Dr. Luke." And no, and sometimes when people read 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus, they think, well, Paul didn't write this. Is it not the same as his other writings? Well, that's probably true, because Paul probably didn't actually write it down. Luke probably wrote it down for him. Because remember, he's in the dungeon at this point. He's not at his desk in his office. And then it says, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful in my ministry." Now, what was the last time we heard about Mark in the book of Acts? Remember that? Mark, he went on the first mission trip, got started, got scared, and left. Came time for the second mission trip, And Barnaby says, I need to get my cousin Mark. And Paul says, he's not coming. And Barnaby says, oh, yes, he is. No, he's not. And they got into a big argument, drag out, knockout. And thus Barnabas and Mark went one direction, and Paul and Silas went another direction. It was a good thing. He helped spread the gospel. And here, I think Paul has looked back and thought, you know, I was a little too harsh with Mark. And he says here, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful in my ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. And he says, when you come, Timothy, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Why did Paul say that for? Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Because it was cold in that dungeon. It wasn't very comfortable. And Paul's like, Timothy, I need my cloak. And then he says, also the books and above all the parchments. What would that be? That'd be his Old Testament, his Jewish scriptures. And it says, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him back for his deeds. You must be aware of him, for he strongly opposed our message. Alexander Coppersmith is one who probably pressed charges against Paul that led him to get sent back to Rome and imprisoned. And then listen to these words. Okay, when Paul went back to Rome, they had the opening defense there, the kind of like the pretrial. And what happened? At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. Whereas Paul went to the courthouse and he looked around. He was by himself. The Christians were so scared that Paul was on his own. But what did Paul say? May it not be counted against them. Why would Paul say that? Remember when Paul was holding the coats when Stephen was being stoned? What did Stephen say? Lord, hold not this sin against them. And I'm sure Paul thought about that many times throughout the years. So what happened? Verse 17. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Paul said, Timothy, I was all alone, but I wasn't lonely. I was in that courtroom. There wasn't any Christians there. It was all non-Christians. And I took the time to give my testimony to all of them. And all those Gentiles heard my testimony. So what happened? Well, this is after the persecution of the Christians, when Christianity is illegal. So Paul was probably brought back a second time for his trial. And this time he was found guilty. Sentenced to death. Now, Peter was crucified, but Paul was a Roman citizen. And so as a Roman citizen, he was given the privilege, if you will, of dying by beheading with a sword. And so you can imagine that Paul is being led out to be executed, and some of his friends who were brave enough came out and joined him, including Timothy. And what would Paul's last words be? I think it would be something that he wrote in this letter. As for me, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And from now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. I think Paul had zero regrets. I think he looked at Timothy and those few other Christians who were with him and said, no, the time has come. My life has been poured out like a drink offering. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And now a crown awaits me. And a crown not just for me, but for all Christians who long for our Lord's coming. And then they bury Paul. And if you were at Paul's funeral giving the eulogy, what would you read at his funeral? Well, if he died in Rome, you'd probably read something out of the book of Romans, wouldn't you? I think they probably read this scripture. They said, no, this is what Paul wrote us when he first introduced himself. Romans 8, verse 31. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him give us everything else? And who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. He will separate us from the love of Christ. Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think when Paul came to the time of death, he died with a smile on his face. He said, I finished the race. I kept the faith. And I think those Christians were encouraged by that. And they thought about those words he wrote in that first letter when he introduced himself. What can separate us from the love of God and Christ? Not even death itself can. That is how we keep the faith. Remember how much God loved us through Christ. And so I encourage all of you, run the good race, fight the good fight, keep the faith. A crown of righteousness awaits you. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite you to open your church hymnal to page 340. There is a hymn inspired by the Apostle Paul that says, I know whom I have believed. That comes straight out of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this is the first time we've sung it since I've been here. So we're going to do our best and sing 340, I know whom I have believed.